Amen. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Merry Christmas. I hope you are this morning finding yourself in good stead and not letting the busyness of the season override the important things. That's for sure. James, I'm going to ask you to come up here in just a minute and pray for us. But first, we have Vietnam veteran Ray Bratcher is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then another thing right before James comes and prays for us. Have you seen the Lord Jesus this past week? Yes. I hope you've had a divine encounter with him. And one of the things we always want to do is we always want to encourage one another about stories from the harvest. And Brother Ed Jackson came up to me and he has a story about he's going through a routine procedure, and we just need to hear about what Ed did this, not Ed, but the Lord did through Ed this week as he made Jesus number one. And so, Ed, after the Pledge of Allegiance, could you come up and give us a story from the harvest? And then, James, if you'd kick us off with a word of prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Ed. Ed, would you come up here and share what happened when he was in the harvest, going about his everyday life?
Thank you, Henry. Good morning. Great to be here in the spirit of worship. Thank you, Jonathan. And the presence of the Lord is here this morning, and I'd just like to say to you that this story that Henry's talking about, you know, the Lord moves in mysterious ways sometimes, so he gave me this problem in my hand, and I had to go to the doctor. And before I went to the doctor, I was at my church Sunday and had my elders pray over me. I don't want to be caught in a doctor's office, and I hadn't talked to the great physician yet. So I had that covered. So while I was in the doctor's office, we concluded between the doctor and myself that we needed a surgical procedure. So he said, I'll send someone in here in just a few moments, and she'll fix you all up. So he did, and this lady came in there, and she seemed to be a fast talker and knew her stuff pretty good, and she went through her presentation of how things were going to work, and then she got through real quick, and I told her and shared the gospel with her. I asked her a question about her eternal soul, and I told her what Jesus did for her on the cross, and he was the only one that could have done what he done. And I showed her how to repent, but quit believing all that other stuff and put your full trust and faith in Jesus. So I kind of gave her my fast-track version because we didn't have very long. A doctor was back in there long before then and another attendant. So I just kept right on, though, and I said, you can own heaven today if you can pray a prayer with this content in your heart and telling him that you know you're a sinner and you know he's the only Savior because of what he done for you on the cross, and he was born of a virgin, and he had no sin nature. And then I said, do you think you could pray a prayer like that in your heart? And she shook her head, yes, I could. And I said, well, do you see any reason why not you couldn't pray it right now? I said, are you married? I said, she said, yeah, I'm married. I said, do you remember when the pastor led you through the wedding vows to your husband? And I said, this is what this is. This is a marriage. You're going to become the church. You're going to become the bride of Christ. And you're saying your vows to your new husband. And she kind of liked that and had a big smile. And she said, sure, I can pray that prayer. Why not? So she prayed the sinner's prayer in front of her boss, the doctor, and another attendant in there. The point of this is you meet the Lord out in the harvest. He's working in people's hearts, and I sure want to be out there with him when he's working. the prophet Micah said, do what's right, be lovers of mercy, and walk with God. So if you want to walk with God, he's out in the field working. You can find him. Thank you very much.
With all the great preachers here this morning, I feel honored. Mr. Hutton asked me to pray. If you all would pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you've bestowed upon us. Lord, it's not that we're worthy, but you said that you would be with us always. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you for the ears. Thank you for the thought. Thank you for consciousness. Thank you for compassion. Thank you for everything that we take so for granted that some people wish they had just one more opportunity to experience. Lord, don't let us forget that you hold all power in your hand. And the least of those things that we consider that we've grown accustomed to and have forgotten that it's because of you that we have those inalienable rights, the right to live, the right to associate, the right to serve, the right to have an open heart for those that are in need and less fortunate. Heavenly Father, we have a duty, Master, placed on our hearts, sanctioned by you, covered by you. And Heavenly Father, I have no doubt that if we abide in your word and in your spirit, all those deeds that you have placed before us could be done. Lord, now go into our homes and fix those homes that are broken. Lord, go into our families and bind our families together where they're torn and divided. Lord, go into our communities and help us to become community conscious again so that the children of the land and everybody that witnessed the goodness in our heart can know that there is a true and living God. And from all of the problems that face us, Lord, we have the compassion of knowing that we can overcome those things in serving you. Heavenly Father, go into the hospitals. Heavenly Father, there's so much work to be done. One of the speakers already said, reminded us that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. But Lord, you brought us here today from various parts of the city. We have various talents that we bring together and we merge and blend together so that the work could be done based on what you've asked us to do. Now, Heavenly Father, some people will give up on all the things that we see in the world. Some people are ready to give up. Some people are ready to cut ties and run. But Heavenly Father, I believe that's when the miracles, your miraculous hands will come down and show that it is not for us to give up. It is for us to believe, and we believe in you, Heavenly Father. Lord, bless this organization that constantly tried to spread the word. They're spreading the word in the parks. They're spreading the word among different nationalities. They're spreading the word in this place. Heavenly Father, it takes some kind of heart to commit to that work. Lord, when I got up this morning and many mornings, I thought about why would I come? But Heavenly Father, that was a small thought. I had a much broader thought in the advantages if I would show up and give of my service and participate in all of the goodness that we share together in trying to change the world. Now, Heavenly Father, please, as we leave this place, Lord, don't leave us. Heavenly Father, when we leave this place, the work is far from being done. Keep a burning fire in our spirit and in our heart to go forth from this place and spread your word. And I believe, Heavenly Father, you will bless the land. These and other blessings I ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we move into the new year, I want to remind everybody, you can always get this message on JesusHelps.me. As a matter of fact, we've been praying about this, and we may be moving more towards an internet base, and we may be coming off of the AM 990 come January 1. But you can find us on Facebook, and you can find us here at JesusHelps.me. If you've had a hard time this week in the harvest, That's okay, it's busy. But if you need a little encouragement, please come join us at Shelby Farms at 3 o'clock. We're there from about 3 to 5. Last week we had 11 different churches show up, but we need more laborers because there's lots of opportunities out there. So you can bring some candy canes. Let's get creative. You know, if you don't know the story of the candy cane, look it up and bring some. Everybody wants a candy cane. Hot chocolate. Go by Costco and get one of those hot water things and get some Swiss Miss and some cups. My wife did that for us. And we've got a couple of hot chocolate dispensers. And you'd be amazed at the conversations you can have about the king over hot chocolate, because it takes them a while to make it. So it's a really good tool out there in the when we're out there sharing the gospel. We're not out there to argue with anybody. We're out there to have great conversations about the king and about the real meaning of Christmas. So we really, really, really need you to come. Last night we had 9 different international countries on our prayer call. Wow. Who would have thunk that 140 Monday nights ago, when we thought this thing would last a week or two, God is bringing in some of the people who are on the front lines of the UUPGs, that's unengaged, unreached people groups. We've got some heavyweights here in Memphis. When I mean heavyweights, I'm not talking about how big they are. I'm talking about the deepness of their prayer life. We've got some intercessors that you will learn and you will grow in your relationship with the Lord as you listen to these men of God pour their hearts out for revival in Memphis, for the welfare of our city, for the welfare of our world. So we have a hard time getting through now in less than 2 hours. So come on and listen. After you listen a little few times, then contact us. And if you've got a heart for something, we'll put you on the agenda. So don't think that you're going to be put on the spot unless you're a regular. If you just like to listen in, contact us and we will certainly send you the invite. We need more people praying. God's hands and feet move when we pray. We have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask amiss. So prayer is the beginning of everything. So if we want our city to change, if we want our streets to change, we want our youth to change, it begins and ends with prayer. And speaking of prayer, who are you praying for that's far from God? If you're not praying for somebody this week who's far from God, you probably forgot what Jesus wants for Christmas. You know what he wants for Christmas. He wants another soul into the kingdom. He's all about his kingdom. So I hope you're praying for those in your family, those that you work with, those who are your friends who are really far from God. So I just want to remind you as we move into the Christmas season, Shelby Farms on Christmas Day, we will not be out there. I know y'all can't believe it. I think it's the only time we haven't been out there. We will not be out there Christmas Day, and we will not be out there New Year's Day. We're going to take a 2-week little pause. And we need to remind, because we'd hate for somebody to show up and we'd not be there, because we're always there on Sunday afternoon. But we will not be there. We want to encourage you to spend Christmas with your family, spend Christmas with Jesus. And so I just want to cover that housekeeping thing. And David will come up and introduce our speaker.
James, thank you for that prayer. And as many of you need to remember this name, James Harvey. James will probably be announcing that he's running for city mayor in January. And this group here needs to rally around him. And this man's going to try to make a change in Memphis, starting with the families, with the fathers in the homes and the things that need to take place in Shelby County. And I really believe you can help do that, James. And God bless you, brother. My visiting partner for Shelby Farm, Shu, right here, she's a dentist from China, and we were up at the playground Sunday, and the very first group we had was a group of 8 young people. The hot chocolate was a hit. They were Hispanic in nature, and that was 8 for the first group. The second group we had, there was 14 kids in one family, same mom, same dad, Caucasians that were A young girl had just graduated from the University of Memphis, and they were celebrating her graduation at Shelby Farms, and we had an opportunity to share with them. But one of the reasons that I keep going out to Shelby Farms, besides seeing people's lives change, I had an opportunity to meet Jonathan and his wife at Shelby Farms. We were out there one Sunday, and we were struggling trying to share with the Hispanic community. And when we had Hispanic tracts and Hispanic scriptures, but we don't know Spanish. And they absorbed us and then came back the next week and offered to help. And they said, oh, by the way, our family plays different instruments. And they came back the next week and brought their guitars. And I'm going to let Jonathan share just, you know, how that all unfolded. But I think that's one of your 17 different signs of confirmation of being in Memphis. But this family, the Lord really has a very, very unique anointing on them and a call on them. And for them to come all the way from Columbia to Memphis, it's amazing the international demographics that are coming to Memphis. We have a group of South Koreans that we're going to be hosting the first week of May during the Memphis National Day of Prayer. They'll be here in Memphis just to pray. They're not here to do anything but to pray. And that's what's keeping South Korea healthy, is 30% of their population are Christian. 1% in Japan and 30% in South Korea. So we've got a man from India, Kumar, that's listening right now. I'd like for y'all to play one more song before you teach, if that's possible. He's got a group of people around him, and you're going global with this. So, Jonathan, if you could do one more song before y'all bring the word. Thank you. Thank you.
been together, I will worship you.
And I will worship you.
Praise the Lord. How many feel the presence of the Lord this morning? Amen. He's here. The Lord is here. And He's moving in our midst. We serve a living God. And I'm so excited about the Word today. I'll be honest with you. I was taking a shower and thinking about this Word. I was preparing my food and thinking about this Word. And God was just bringing thoughts to me about this Word, and I was already excited before I came here today. And I just want to quickly pray, and we'll get to the Word. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Your Word is infallible truth. Your Word is powerful. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to us through your Word. Holy Spirit, lead us to all the truth of your Word. And help us to be doers of your Word, we pray in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I was debating myself. I said, do I share a Christmas message or do I share a message for the new year? And I wrestled with that thought for a little while, but the Lord led me to share a word with you for next year, for the upcoming year. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And by the way, let me tell you, I was so blessed by that prayer. I was so blessed by the word we received before I shared. I could have just gone home, and that was already enough for me. I'm so blessed to be here with my family. So blessed by all of you. Thank you for your support, your prayers. Y'all mean a lot to our family, and we thank you for inviting us to be here again. Been very blessed this morning. Let us read together. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. I was so blessed by reading this word, especially when you read in the previous chapters and you see that the theme of these previous chapters are lost and found. Among them is the prodigal son. And after Jesus gave many teachings about finding that which was lost, we now see a man being reached by the Lord. See, Jesus not only speaks, he does. He acts on what he teaches. And so the teachings we see before about finding that which is lost, now Jesus finds a man that was lost. And you know, I have a message to share with you that I title it this way, and I know it's going to sound interesting to you, but I put this title, Three Things Zacchaeus Taught Me About Doing Ministry in 2023. So for those of you that are taking notes, I'm going to repeat that again. Three things Zacchaeus taught me about doing ministry in 2023. The first thing I learned from Zacchaeus, and I want you to use your imagination. I'm having a little cup of coffee with Zacchaeus, and he's sharing heart to heart with me a big lesson here. And the first one that I learned from him is that Zacchaeus set a clear goal in front of him and did not allow himself to be distracted or discouraged. He wanted to see Christ. That was his goal. And when he heard that Christ was coming and that the multitude was there to see the Lord, Zacchaeus put a goal before him. He said, I want to see the Lord. I want to see Jesus. Zacchaeus had one goal before him, and that has to be our goal for 2023. Individually and as congregation, we have to keep our focus on Christ, not on the programs, not on our systems. Our eyes have to be upon the Lord. Zacchaeus had one goal. He was fully committed to that objective. King David was a man with a clear goal as well. Look what he said in one of the Psalms. One thing I have desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was a man with a clear goal. One thing consumed his heart. And in 2023, that has to be our goal as well. Because you know, brothers and sisters, there are so many distractions nowadays. Every day there's new apps out there. Every day there's new series out there. Every day we hear something new that is coming out, and there's so much that is trying to get our attention nowadays. People don't have time to seek the face of the Lord. There's no time for devotionals. From the moment a person wakes up, the phone has got notifications and messages, and you got to reply this email, and there's the next season that came in of these new series and the new episode that just came out, and it's just so much. But Zacchaeus, he had a goal before him. One thing consume his mind. He said, I'm going to see Jesus today. And that has to be our passion as well. When people see us, they must see that passion in us. They must see that we're a people with a clear goal, with a one desire. The Apostle Paul was also a man with a clear goal. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Here's a committed man, a man with a passion. You look at Paul straight in his eyes, and Jesus is in his eyes. There's only one goal, only one objective in this man's life, is that people will see Jesus. That has to be our focus as well. In 2023, we have to start our year. You see, many people, they begin their year with resolutions, and they say, "This new year, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. In this new year, I'm getting back to the gym. And this new year, I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to stop that." Let me say that we have to start our new year resolution by saying, "Lord, this year, my focus will be on you. This year, I will set my eyes upon you, Lord. This year, my family will see your glory. This year, we're coming back to you in full strength. We'll seek your face like never before." That has to be our number one priority before anything else. May 2023 be a year in which our greatest focus is for people to see Christ and have a personal encounter with him. There's no greater joy, brothers and sisters, when you see someone surrendering their heart to Christ. It's such a joy. A couple weeks ago, a new family that has been coming to our church from Venezuela, I shared a word, and as I finished the sermon, the Venezuelan lady, she came up to me with a smile on her face. I could see the joy in her face. She looked at me and she said, "I made the prayer today for the first time." Oh, brother, I felt the, you know, immediate joy. And inside of me, I said, it is worth all the effort. It is worth all the study. It is worth all the sacrifices that the people don't see, but that we as a family, my wife and our children, getting up early, getting ready, putting the instruments in the car and carrying everything. And the boys helped me to set up, and we're setting up. And when church is over and people are leaving, saying goodbye, Caroline and I, we wave and say goodbye. And we know that in a couple minutes, we have to clean the restrooms and we have to get the cables and organize everything. And, you know, some people left, but we have to stay, and so we do it as a family. And so when she told me that, and she said, "I made the prayer for the first time today," in my heart, I said, it is worth all the effort. It is worth all that we do, because today salvation has come into this life. She looked at me and she said, "Jonathan, my husband is happy at this church. He's happy to be coming here. He's saying that he feels good in this place." And she shared the testimony with me, and it brought great joy into my heart. That has to be our goal. More than systems, more than programs. We thank God for the programs we have in our church. We thank God for being organized and preparing and having an agenda. But you know, above all of our goals and projects and everything we do, our greatest focus is for people to see Christ and have a personal encounter with him. Our agenda as a church, our schedule, our programs, everything has to direct to that one goal, that people see Jesus, have an encounter with the Lord. Second thing I learned from Zacchaeus is that he turned his obstacle into an opportunity. The dictionary defines an obstacle as a thing that blocks one's way or prevents or hinders progress. Obstacles can come in all shapes and sizes, and some are just abstract concepts that reside in the human mind. You know, sometimes we focus on those big you know, those big obstacles that are on the road, for example, a big tree that fell on the road, that's a big obstacle. You have to find a way to go through it because it is difficult when there's something that's keeping your progress. And sometimes we notice these big obstacles that are in front of us. But let me tell you, most of the times, our biggest obstacles are in our mind. Limiting thoughts that perhaps say you're not enough. You feel that you want to go out to share the gospel, and a thought comes to you that says you're not going to be able to. You can't express yourself well. You're an introvert. And all kinds of thoughts come, limiting thoughts that come to be an obstacle, to keep you from moving forward in your call. Some obstacles, like I said, are very noticeable, such as fallen trees blocking a road, whereas others can be more subtle, such as limiting thoughts. Zacchaeus had to face two obstacles. First of all, there's a crowd in front of him, and they're keeping him from seeing Jesus. The next obstacle that he had to face, it was that he was short. He was a short man. So he's got a multitude in front of him, and he's a short man, so he can't see Jesus. I can imagine Zacchaeus trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, but he can't because there's a multitude of people in front of him. There are some other obstacles that Zacchaeus has to face. You know, he was a tax collector. And in those days, they did not have a good reputation. And now Zacchaeus, he had a double fault because on one side, he was a Jewish man serving the Roman Empire as a tax collector. And if that was not enough, he was like what I would call the regional manager of all the tax collectors. So to his Jewish people, they looked at him as a traitor. They're saying, look at this guy. A Jewish man working as a tax collector, and if that's not enough, he is the regional manager of all the tax collectors in our region. You can only imagine how upset his community was with him. And using my imagination here, I can picture Zacchaeus trying to press his way through the crowd, and I can imagine more than one brother telling the other, saying, lock your shoulders there. Don't let Zacchaeus go by. Don't let the tax collector go by. Make sure he does not get away to Jesus, because he's the one that's been charging us all those taxes. Make sure he can't pass through. Notice that the text does not mention that the people try to help him to see Jesus. You don't see any of his neighbors saying, Zacchaeus, don't worry, brother. Here are my shoulders. You can sit here, I'll hold you up. You don't see his neighbors offering help for him to be able to see Jesus. After all, he was a traitor. And you also don't see Zacchaeus asking for help. He never asked one of the people in his community because he knew himself of his reputation. He knew he was a tax collector. But you see, Zacchaeus, instead of taking a position of a victim and saying, look at the people, they don't let me pass by, they don't let me see the Lord, you know what, forget this, I'm just going to go home and cry by myself and forget about all this. He could have gotten bitter. Even worse, he could have got a little notebook out and looked at the people that were not letting him see Jesus and saying, okay, I see. I see Simon over there. I see Paul not letting me see Jesus. And it could have taken their names down and said, I'm going to charge them double tax next year. I'm going to charge you all double tax next year. Watch and see. And he could have gone home bitter with a list in his pocket of all the people he was going to charge double tax next year. He could have even charged Jesus as well and said, you know what, Lord, since I couldn't see you, I'll charge everyone double taxes. He could have gone home bitter that day. But you know, he didn't see the obstacles. He didn't let his heart grow heavy and bitter. Zacchaeus had a goal before him. He wanted to see Jesus, and nothing was going to stop that man. In 2023, I want to encourage you to also not let the obstacles stop you. Because there will be things that will come your way that will try to get you to go back home crying and to stop serving God. Things that are going to come your way to try to get you discouraged, to try to get you to stay at home and not do anything anymore. Thoughts that will try to come to be an obstacle on your way, to keep you from sharing the gospel, to keep you from sharing the joy of knowing Christ with others. But you and I will not let those obstacles stop us. We won't see the obstacles. We will see the opportunities. Because when Zacchaeus noticed that he couldn't get through the people, when he noticed he was short in stature, instead of looking back home and returning to his home and quitting, he looked for a tree. And he said, all right, all right, all right. If I can't make it this way, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way, but I'm going to see Jesus today. I'm going to see the Lord today. In 2023, I have decided with my family that instead of seeing a wall, an obstacle in front of us, with God's help, we're going to see the stepping stone for us to move to a new level, to a new dimension in our walk with the Lord. What the enemy meant for evil, our God can turn it for good. What the enemy tries to bring to destroy us, to bring us to quit, our God is going to turn it for good. What came as an obstacle in 2023, you and I, by God's help, we're going to turn into the stepping stones. They're going to take us, those steps are going to take us into a new dimension in our walk with the Lord. How many of you can say amen to that? We're not going to see the obstacles, we're going to see the opportunities. And that leads me to my third point. The third lesson Zacchaeus gave me is that he was able to respond creatively to the challenge that was before him. He was creative when he saw a challenge before him. Like I said, Zacchaeus could have gone to his house and given up seeing the master, but he saw an opportunity in the midst of his obstacles. He decided to do something different, something that only children in his time did. You see, I grew up on an island in the south of Brazil, and I remember as a kid, we used to climb the guava trees, a common fruit we had in my island, and our neighbors will go and we'll climb these trees as a kid, and we also climb the different trees that we had in our neighborhood, and you know, this is something that we as a kid, we used to do. Something that it was common in our days, we just climb trees and grab fruits and like to look at a distance from the trees that we would climb. And Zacchaeus, he looked at a distance and he looked for a tree. You see, in our days, it is not something common for us to see an adult climbing a tree. It's not something that we find it common. It's something we normally associate with kids. Kids climbing a tree. And now Zacchaeus, he gets creative here and he says, you know what? I'm going to climb a tree. I'm going to see Jesus from a new perspective. I'm going to see him from a different standpoint. And he comes up with this idea. And his goal of seeing Christ was so great that he didn't care about his reputation. Because see, he was a known man. He was a man that was distinguished in his community with the Roman Empire. But he didn't care. He said, today, I'm going to see the Lord. And so He got creative, and I can imagine him starting to look at the trees. He's looking at Jesus coming, and he's getting strategic here. He's making quick decisions, and he's looking at the path, and he's saying, okay, the Lord is going to come this way. Let me find a tree that's going to be on the way that I can get a clear view of Jesus. And he's looking, and I can imagine Zacchaeus looking and saying, no, that's a lemon tree. It's got thorns on it. That's not a good tree. Let me look for another tree. All right, that tree, it's kind of small. That one is not going to work. And he began to look, and suddenly he saw a sycamore tree. Now, I had some time to look into this, and I was taking a look at the sycamore trees. And did you know that these are big trees with big branches? And if you go to Jericho, there is a sycamore tree there known as the Zacchaeus tree. Did you know that? To this day, known as the Zacchaeus tree. And they believe that from that tree, okay, that tree that is there nowadays, that tree came from the tree that is mentioned here in the Bible. These sycamore trees, they can live to 250 years. And so the tree you see there in Jericho today, they believe it came from that tree that is mentioned here in the Bible. So if you go to Jericho, you can actually see a sycamore tree, and you can picture Zacchaeus standing on one of those branches. If you ever go there, you can picture that, because that was one of the trees, and it's a clear representation of the tree that he found for himself. And see, in our days, we couldn't imagine the owner of a business or a distinguished person in our community, a mayor, a governor, climbing up a tree to see someone that is walking down the road. Can you imagine? You're walking down with your people from your neighborhood, and suddenly you see the mayor or someone in distinguished in the community, they're holding on to a branch. You probably look at him and say to yourself, how did I vote for that guy? You look at that person and say, man, what was I thinking? That guy's, he's holding on to a branch with a bunch of kids. What's going on with him? But that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He climbed up the tree, didn't care for his reputation, didn't care for what people thought about him. He wanted to see Jesus. He quickly planned and strategically found a tree that was in Jesus' path and put his plan into action. Using his ingenuity, Zacchaeus climbed a tree, not just any tree, a sycamore tree. He was strategic in his selection, because the sycamore trees were large with branches that were resistant and supported the weight of both children and adults alike. From there, Zacchaeus was able to see Christ from another perspective. And in 2023, in our ministries, when we see obstacles before us, I want to invite you and I to use our creativity, our God-inspired creativity, that nothing will stop us, that in prayer, we'll seek God for new strategies, new ways of doing ministry. There's someone that you and I will lead up to a tree next year. Someone that hasn't been able to come to the church, perhaps. Someone that has been facing obstacles in their lives. Someone that has been struggling with limiting thoughts in their mind, and that God is going to use you and I to use our creativity, new ways of doing ministry, and we're going to take these people to the tree with us. We're going to help people see Jesus from a new perspective, new strategies, new ways of doing ministry. I was sharing with a group of pastors and leaders in Brazil, and I was telling them, God's message stays the same. We can't change His word. We dare not change His word. But we can ask God for creativity on how we do ministry. Be it with a cup of hot chocolate at the park, or a new concept, a new project, a new way of doing ministry. I believe that God has a tree for us in 2023. I believe that for our ministries, there is a sycamore tree for us in 2023. A new way of doing ministry, new ideas. God has a sycamore tree for you and I for 2023. How many people in these days, where there is so much noise on social networks and the news and in our society need you and me to be the instruments that guide them to the master. These people need you and I to climb the tree with them and present Christ to them from a new perspective, using our Holy Spirit-inspired ingenuity and creativity. I believe God has sycamore tree ministry opportunities for us in 2023. Zacchaeus didn't care about his reputation. He climbed that tree, and you know what? He saw the Lord. Just one look from Jesus. Just one glance at Jesus' eyes. Jesus didn't even have to preach to him. Jesus didn't even have to ask for him to repent of his sins. Just one look into the master's eye. And Zacchaeus said, I'll give half of my possessions away. Zacchaeus was so touched by the eyes of the Lord, by the gaze of our Lord and Savior, that he was completely transformed in that moment. As a church, as God's people, that has to be our one desire, for people to see the Lord. And their lives, our lives, will never be the same when we gaze upon the eyes of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our church, the name of our church is Church at the Park. We started at Shelby Farms, and we're now meeting in 7565 Macon Road at the Korean Church of Memphis. We've been meeting there since October, since the change of weather as a congregation. And we're so excited with what God is doing. We have new families that have been coming to our church. God is moving in such a beautiful way. And I want to invite you, our service, I tell people our services are bilingual depending on who comes. So we have services that we'll preach just in Spanish, and then we'll have services that we'll do fully bilingual. We'll just take on a week-by-week basis, and it's awesome to see what God is doing. We've had Korean that has met with us, Americans. We've had different nationalities that are meeting with us from Venezuela, Mexico, Brazil, Colombia. Different nations coming together to worship the Lord. So I want to invite you one of these Sundays at 6 p.m. That's the time we meet at 7565 Macon Road. Amen. We'll be glad to see one of you coming to visit us one of these Sundays. No, just Sunday. Sunday at 6 p.m.
You know, the Lord is not going to hold us accountable for things outside our influence, but Memphis is something the Lord's going to hold us accountable for. And we have to be responsible for the very sphere of influence that we have. You know, it's amazing that we go all over the place to try to share the gospel, and yet the Lord is bringing the international community to Memphis. And I just want us to get behind what Jonathan and Kalaris are doing here in Memphis. It's a church plant. We have this group here has purchased tickets for their family to go to the Singing Christmas Tree tomorrow night. If you want to partner with that, you can put in the love offering. Anything over $150 will be directed to them so they can do with that what they want with ministry. But their kids do not know they're going tomorrow night. It's a surprise. And if you haven't been to the Singing Christmas Tree yet for the very first time, it's really pretty overwhelming. So we want to bless them. And I tell you, it to me, for no other reason, other than part people coming to Christ out there, to meet y'all and to be able to be engaged with what you're doing has just been beyond amazing. It's just been encouraging to it. When we go out there, Henry, in fact, a week ago Sunday, when Henry and I were unloading a hot chocolate, four Hispanic people came up to us, and a guy was, strong looking man. He was a construction worker, and he said he was saved, but he had several family members that were Catholic, And immediately I got on the phone. I called Jonathan. Jonathan answered the phone and talked to him and tried to bring him in. It's just this family here, just they've got tentacles all over the international community. And all it takes is one time at Shelby Farms and you'll realize that you're a minority out there. It's at Bellevue Church. Tonight, I think Henry and Lisa are going tonight, taking some relatives, and then tomorrow night's the very last evening. So with that, Stacy, would you come up here and close us in prayer? Stacy is doing a phenomenal job with Celebrate Recovery, 201 Poplar. You heard his story and his testimony a couple weeks ago. I've got some of these tracks. I want everyone to take one of these packets. I've got some more over here. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And whether you're into, yeah, give them out. Well, this right here, this is an opportunity this week with Christmas coming up. This is the Christmas story, the greatest story ever told. And whether you believe in tracts or not, God's word's not going to return void. And I know many, many people that have come to Christ through a gospel tract. And you don't even have to say anything. You just have to hand it off. I promise you, people read cartoon tracts. And I'm going to bring some more over here. But Stacy, if you could close us in prayer. If you want to help bless this couple right here with their church plant and the singing Christmas tree tomorrow night. Thank you, John. Now, they're in finals, too, so they're studying. They had to break away to come this morning to minister, and they had to come from Millington. So I don't know what time they got up, but thank you so much. Great worship, great, great word. Stacy closes, please.
All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for calling us all here together this morning, and your presence is just overwhelming here today, God. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the passionate worship. I thank you for this group of people. They came into my life at a time when I needed that, and I know that you're leading and you're guiding. And so, God, there's so many people in this room that do so many wonderful things, and God, I just thank you for that, and thank you for their hearts. Thank you for them being servants. Thank you for being servant leaders. And God, I pray specifically for our city. God, there's so many things going on in this region that need your touch. We need healing, God. The crime and all the things that are just spiraling out of control, God, we need you. And so, God, lead us and guide us into ways that we can have the most impact. Lead us to the places where we're needed the most. God, the battle's out there. It's not in our homes. It's not at our desk. The battle is out there. So, God, we just ask you to provide. Lead us, guide us, and just provide for us. And, God, just keep everyone in here safe as they go. Keep everybody safe this week. Let everybody have a great holiday season with their family, God. And I just thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.